Welcome back, everybody. Today, Paul and I are going to dive into why premium is not the problem. Premium is the solution to your problems. What do we hit on, Paul?
Oh, man. I'm not going to give away everything, but I think the biggest thing, mindset and then lack of liquidity. Think about the times when you've needed money and you've had to liquidate something to get it, thus interrupting the growth of that money. That's a problem. And that's why you have this headwind in your financial face. So we're going to teach you on this episode how to address that.
Yeah. Turn that headwind into a tailwind.
The best.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right. How's it going, my retired friend?
It's going well. Yeah.
What would you say you do?
What would you say you do here? Yeah. Well, I do what you do, I guess. I take meetings and I do some, what else do I do? I went for a walk today with the dog in between the rain. So yeah. That was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty soon I've got a doctor appointment on Wednesday, so my week is pretty much full.
That's my in-laws. They're, yeah. That's always a thing. It's funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Well, hey, we got a lot to talk about today, and we got to fit it in a short amount of time. So let's start with this question I had from a client recently, and I told him we'd answer it on the podcast. So here
you're
a
man of your word.
Yep. So here's the question. With inflation always present, how do you look at cash value and death benefit value 30 years into the future when the policy is not indexed with cost of living adjustments? So this is an interesting question because nobody knows what the value of a dollar is going to be 30 years from now.
Right.
If you look at history, it's going to be worth a lot less than it is today. That's all we know.
Yeah, a thought just popped into my head, Dave, now that we've been talking about this for a few minutes, but, these policies don't have fixed death benefits.
Right.
So the initial face amount of a dividend paying whole life policy is going to be whatever it's going to be. Let's say the initial face amount of your policy is $1 million and you're, 45 years old. Well, 30, 40 years from now, and I don't know what your premium is in this scenario, but your death benefit could be $3, $4, $5 million, depending on the premium you're paying, right? So it did grow with you, both the death benefit and then the present value, the cash value. So it does, and then your premium is fixed and goes down over time. So due to inflation, it should feel cheaper. But I do get your point. But again, compared to what? You'd have to apply that statement to every single thing you're doing in the financial space.
Right.
Your current contribution to your 401k is 10% or 15% or 20%, whatever it is. You're going to have, and they do raise the amount you can contribute to that thing every year, don't they, at the IRS. So you can put in more. So what's preventing you from putting in more premium into a whole life policy or another policy? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I want to have as much cash value and as much death benefit as I can possibly manage. I'll never regret having too much cash available or too much death benefit to leave behind when I'm gone. Right. That's just not a regret I'm ever going to have, unless I don't have enough. But so if the pace I'm going, it's going to be enough.
Yeah, so I think to address that concern, if you're going to be more productive over time in your 40s and 50s and 60s and your income is going to increase, expand your system to accommodate that income. And then you're in part addressing that inflation problem. We all wish inflation really wasn't a thing, but it is. It's reality. It's been acutely bad in the last 5 years, 6 years with all the money printing that was done. But that's how you address it. You just keep expanding your system so that you could become your own banker. And if you solve your need for finance using this product, you'll have a ton of life insurance to leave behind and a ton of cash value, more importantly, to use during your life. So
right.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So that's something I think about, to be honest with you. I just keep paying more premium as finances allow me to.
Yeah. I haven't even gone through to look at all of my different policies and see how much death benefit am I going to be carrying on myself 20 or 30 years from now. It's going to be a whole lot more than I'm carrying right now because it grows every single year. in my policy. So
it's important not to forget that it does grow with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So as long as you're putting in enough now, look 30 years in the future on that illustration, which it's just an illustration, but it'll give you an idea on how much you're going to have. Sure. Yeah. If your starting death benefit is enough today, it's probably going to be enough 30 years from now because it's growing in those 30 years. No, that's one
thing. Right. Unless we keep having these acute inflationary periods where they, you know, print $20 trillion and...
Yeah, we can't control inflation.
But we can't control that.
Plain and simple. There's nothing we can do. All we can control is how much premium we pay.
Well said. That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Which takes us to our topic for the day.
Oh, surprise. You
know, which is all about premium. And really why premium is the solution. Premium is the answer to your problems. So we, you know, what does our good friend James say?
The problem is the problem. The premium is the solution.
Love that. Maybe that's how we'll title this.
Yeah.
I'll get James's permission. But yeah, we're giving him credit right now.
That's right.
So yep, the premium is the solution. And as Nelson says, if you understand the problem, you'll know what to do. So everybody's got problems, financial problems. And they may not be, you know, problems that keep him up at night, but there's always problems. So the rising cost of everything in the world, the increased, you know, cost of raising children. I mean, was it last I looked, it was like $200,000 to raise a single child from 0 to 18.
I think that's extremely low.
That's extremely low. I can tell you that much right now.
Yeah. I think that's extremely low. It's gotta be.
Yeah.
But people, everyone's got problems. A lot of people though don't think about them, or they're just unaware until the problem arises, and then of course it's too late, right? But a lot of people, and I got this in a book that we've both read recently, I think last year, was people have problems that only this product, and I'll take it further, that only this process of IBC can solve. Whether they know it or not, it's true.
Right. Everybody wants the solutions that this provides. They just don't want the product.
Oh, I've used that lately. It's like, if I told you this was some special like mutual fund or index fund or something, you'd be all over it. Like it does all this. And then I just say it's whole life insurance. You're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody says that was bad.
Somebody told me that was really bad. Yeah. Uncle Guido told me that was a stupid idea, you know, and then he got into his old beat up pickup truck and drove away to the factory to work, and he's still 80 years old, still working. So anyway, let's talk about how the problem is the problem. The premium is the solution. So one thing, you know, one of the problems is dependence on banks and losing that interest to other entities that don't serve you. Those banks serve themselves. You know, the interest you pay the bank, that's not coming back to you. You're not getting that deposited back into your account as, hey, thanks for being a good borrower. We're going to credit your account with, you know, 3 or 4% interest this year. Banks aren't going to do that.
No. Well, this comes back to the topic of ownership. You know, you deposit your money in the bank, you're just an unsecured creditor of the bank. You don't have any ownership stake in it unless you go out there on the stock market and buy some of that bank's stock, let's say. And then you're a stockholder of it, but you don't have any ownership interest, right?
Right.
When you do it this way, as Nelson says in the book, right, you earn interest and dividends, not just some nominal interest at the bank.
Yep. Interest and dividends and, the death benefit. That's going to be there.
Yeah. We don't de-emphasize that on this podcast. Like the death benefit is what makes it all work.
Like exactly.
You know, we've had calls with people like, I don't want there's that much death benefit. And I was like, well, do you want a little cash value? Because if you don't have big death benefit, you're not going to have big cash value either.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that part.
Yeah.
So how does paying more premium help? Well, it creates a larger pool that you can pull from, right? A larger pool of capital. So you can start borrowing against your cash value and stop taking loans to the bank. Stop paying interest to the bank, pay back to the insurance company, which is a company that you're an owner of, and a company that pays you dividends as an owner at the end of every year when it has a surplus profit from which to pay dividends, which for most companies has been 100 plus straight years.
Yes. Yeah. And the company that we particularly like to work with has, you know, has outstanding financials and a great track record, right?
Yeah.
And of course, there's a large pool of financial value that you're going to control more and more of in a guaranteed manner, year after year after year. You know, I've told a couple of people this lately, like 20, 30 years from now, you're really going to look back and we're all going to be old, you know, whatever that means. We're going to be in our 70s, let's say, but you're really going to look back and thank your younger self for, well, thank God I did that. The only thing you're going to, and I'm going to say it again, the only thing you're going to wish is that your premium had been bigger.
Yeah.
So during our initial conversations, it's kind of shocking to people when it's like, oh, you know, based on their income and their financials, we've illustrated a certain premium for them. And they're like, wow. That's higher than I thought. I thought I was going to pay, you know, $100 a month or something. Like, you can.
You can.
You're not going to be able to finance much. Yeah, yeah, you can finance your bourbon collecting every year or something.
Yeah, maybe you can, yeah, finance a new pair of jeans or a new suit every year for Easter. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so once that mindset switch happens from it's not a bill to it's a deposit in my own financial future, that's where it's like, okay, this – I got it, Paul. It makes sense.
Yeah. It's not an expense. It's the solution. You know, and the more you pay in, the larger your bank becomes, your personal banking system becomes.
Yeah, just, do you want a small bank or a large bank?
Right. Do you want if you could build a business that's guaranteed to succeed, do you want a small business or a large business?
Yep.
Yeah. You want it to be somewhat profitable or very profitable? Okay. The next, this is one of our favorites. I mean, this is what we say at the end of every episode. It's about control. So the problem is lack of financial control, being at the whims and the terms of the lender, right? The borrower is a slave to the lender, and you're at the whim of their terms. Even if one of their terms is we want to collect today, we know we said we're going to give you 5 years, but now we're going to call that in right now because we're in trouble, and we're going to take that money back quicker.
Yeah. I was talking to a buddy recently, and I've done some private lending to him and some other people have as well. But, you know, he's experiencing that right now where a bank is calling a note prior to, yes. And it's a construction loan too. So it's very interesting that, you know, I'm in that space too with the build that I'm doing, but has been a long duration build doing a lot of the work himself. And yeah, they're calling the note. Apparently the lender is in some sort of financial trouble potentially. So he's in the process of changing lenders, but that previous lender has called that note.
Yeah. Yeah. I lost money in 2008. I was in a development deal that was, you know, quote, a sure thing. And in 2008, I was, you know, barely a captain.
Captain. Yeah.
At that time, barely, hardly making anything. Putting $25,000 into a real estate development deal that was going to go gangbusters, of course, because the market was so hot. And then, the market crashed and the bank called the note in on the developers, even though they were making their monthly payments per the contract. They kept making the monthly payments because they had the cash available to do that. Didn't matter. The bank said, doesn't matter. We want all of it now. So we lost everything.
Oh my God.
Every penny. Yep.
Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does. So no control in that system. Now, if you're borrowing against your cash value, will the life insurance company ever call that loan and say, we need you to pay it back now? The only time there's ever a requirement on that loan payment is if your policy is going to lapse if you don't make it. Because you've overextended, you've pretty much taken a max loan, you've run up the interest, all you're doing is paying the minimum premium. There's going to be an amount of interest that you can't roll over now into an outstanding loan.
Correct.
So you've got
to
pay a minimum.
You really have to try to mess this up.
Yeah, you've got to be in a dire situation. And even then you have options based on how long you've had your policy and all of that.
Right.
So
when I look at our typical clientele and, you know, they're typically people our age, you know, they're going to have so much financial control, you know, in their 70s when they need it.
Yeah.
You know, these types of things will be less and less of a concern if it's not a concern at all by then, because they've paid so much premium. So, what a horrible thing to go through. Gosh.
Yeah. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, you know, having our first initial conversation. We talked for about an hour and he was like, you know, I don't really have any need to borrow money right now. I said, that's great. And that's a great time to start this.
Yes.
Because you will have a need for capital. You're married. You have two young kids. You're going to have a need for capital. I mean, there's cars in your future. There's college. There's weddings. There's unexpected emergencies. That's great. You don't have any right now. You can't foresee any right now. But it's going to happen. And you're going to be happy that you have access to capital.
Yep. You finance everything you buy. You can either pay interest or you can earn it.
Yep. There you go. All right. How about tax inefficiencies? So that's a big problem. You know, doing things with your money that may sound like a good idea today, but you're not taking into account the whole tax consequences down the road. You're kicking it down the road. I like, you know, everybody knows about compound interest, but what do you know about compound taxes?
Yeah, they kind of work opposite each other. Like, yeah, you're doing great in your whatever retirement account or something, but you're unless it's a Roth or it's your whole life, well, your whole life insurance isn't an investment, obviously, but your traditional accounts, you're just kicking that can down the road and you're going to pay tax. And I had this conversation yesterday. You're going to pay tax on a larger amount of money at an unknown rate when you don't want to pay taxes because you're 75 years old.
In an unknown bracket without an active income. Yeah. Right. With potentially more medical expenses and all this stuff, maybe not getting Social Security anymore.
Oh yeah. Well, it goes default in 2034, I think is the last I read. But the thing is, like, tax, we've talked about this, is that tax rates are effectively fairly low right now, right? Relatively low, right? Yeah. So why not pay the tax now while it's low? And if I'm assuming that people are planning on making more money as they go down the road, right? 40s and 50s and 60s and be, you know, at their peak performance at some point.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense while taxes are low to put any more than, you know, maybe to get the match or something into a qualified plan, in my opinion. And I think the math will back me up on it. Just kicking that tax can down the road.
Especially when you start taking that money out. When you start the downhill, you climb the mountain and then you're on your way down.
But it's like it's like a whoopee, right? It's reducing my taxable income every year by $20,000. And I'm like, well, you've done the math on that and figure out what the difference will be. Probably not that much. Depending on your bracket. It's really not that much.
Yeah.
Pay it now.
I mean, when the government waves a carrot in front of your face, there's a reason. They wave this carrot saying, hey, you can reduce your current, you know, adjusted gross income by doing this, because we know that's going to compound and give us more money down the road. Yeah. So how does paying more premiums into dividend paying whole life insurance, how is that the solution?
It's a great, you know, place to just put park capital, right? Capital that won't be taxed the way we use it. We access it through policy loans, right? So all that money, and we're talking, you know, over someone's lifetime, millions of dollars of premium potentially that will not have any, the harvest or the death benefit won't be taxed. There'll be no income tax on that. And then the use of that money during their lifetime also won't be taxed. So yeah, I want to put as much into that type of system as I can.
Yeah. And you're actually paying a whole lot more premium than you think you are, because every year you get a dividend, the way we design the policies is that it's acting as premium and purchasing more death benefit for you, creating more cash value for you every year. So every year your premium is actually increasing for many, many years.
Premium and income should match.
Premium and income should match. So, I mean, when your dividend starts to equal the premium you're paying, you're basically getting, you know, 2-for-1 deal at that point.
Yeah. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday about, you know, how a dividend could eventually pay the entire premium. And he was just fascinated. He's like, how can it be like this? I was like, it's just the law of large numbers and actuarial.
Yeah, because
science.
Dave Ramsey told me they're just returning the premium that I overpaid. How could they be giving me more than what I paid in? Yeah.
It's more than that. That's for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Well, here's a big one. Market risk and volatility. This one's on everybody's radar. This is the easiest one to see because it's in your face. Anytime the market drops, say 5% or 10%, it's like D-Day. The media, it's a bloodbath and everybody's glued to the TV because it's fear-mongering. For some reason, human nature, we want to be scared. We want something to scare us. I don't get the phenomenon. But anyway, wouldn't it be nice to have a whole pool of capital that's completely not correlated, completely uncorrelated and unaffected by any of the market downturns?
Well, frankly, and we have, some financial advisor friends, they think it's a good idea to pay high premium. And we've cited the Ernst & Young study, and we've talked about it a little bit, where they say, part of your portfolio should be this. Upwards of 30%, I think it was, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So 25%. I guess the question for me is to you out there who isn't, you're not practicing IBC is why not? Why not have a chunk of your portfolio? Doesn't have to be all of it. We're not advocating for that, in fact. But why not a good chunk of your portfolio be non-market correlated and just, if you're going to put money in bonds, well, put it here. This is better. you get bond-like returns, sort of, with a death benefit.
With a death benefit. That's something people overlook often. Like, but Paul, I could just put this money into a mutual fund or an ETF and get a higher rate of return.
Sure.
Well, what are you getting? You're not, do both, but you're not getting guarantees. You're not getting risk transfer. So transferring all that risk to somebody else. You're not getting a death benefit, which would be multiples of what you ever put in if something should happen to you, God forbid. I mean, it will happen to you. So it's not should something, it's when something, when you die, not should you die. Of course, everybody's going to die. No, right. When you die, your family's going to get multiples of what you ever put in, dollars for pennies. But how about during those passive income years and retirement, if everything you have, which is most people, everything they have is in the market and in their home.
That's why they're glued to the TV.
That's why they're glued to the TV. And it's a scary place to be. The biggest fear is running out of money, dying too late.
Yeah.
Living too long. They don't say running out of money before I die. They call it outliving my money, which is even worse because now you're saying living long is a bad thing.
Right. Yeah. I don't get it. Like, if that's what's out there, right? That's what they figure out what to talk about with people. And we've run this model and you're going to be fine till at least age 95, assuming these things happen the way this model says.
Right. There's a 90% chance that you won't run out of money unless you live beyond this certain age number.
Yeah.
Right. Or you cut back to rice and beans.
Yeah. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me. That doesn't seem like a good way to live. And, I listened to Dr. Paul Cleveland the other day, and when he was talking with Nelson, this is just a peaceful way to exist.
It is peaceful. We talked about that. Was it last episode or one of the previous episodes?
I can't say it enough.
Financially.
It's just a peaceful way to exist. Like people talk about the stock market. And I have it on my phone. I can look at it real quick and just see like, the Dow is down or the S&P is up or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't really think about it much at all.
Yeah. It's just one less external factor that affects my day-to-day and my mood, my emotions, my happiness, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
All right. What about the problem of lack of liquidity? So
this is the typical American man's problem.
Yeah. Well, and we've posed this question before. At your 45, if you've got $100,000 in your 401k or $2 million in your 401k today, how does that change your life right now?
Yeah, we did an episode of that a while ago. It's not money.
It's nothing. It's on paper. You can't spend it until you remove it from the system and put it in your hands. So if you can't spend a dollar, what's the value of that dollar?
Zero.
Right. So it's not going to allow you any kind of freedom to hey, if I lose my job, I'm going to be okay. Or I'm going to take an extended vacation with the family. Like, it doesn't matter how much you have in your 401k, unless you want to just deplete it and take the penalties and the hits and all that.
But there's all these stupid articles that these different financial pages put out, like, oh, how many 401k millionaires did, you know, existed in 2024? And it's just like, yeah. Who cares?
Yeah. And are you really,
I used to get excited
are you really
about
a
that,
millionaire because you have $1 million in a 401k?
No.
No, because how much of that can you spend?
Right. You can't spend any of it.
There are six or seven people in front of you with their hand out taken from that before you get a dime.
That's right. Uncle Guido.
You're like sixth in
line. The IRS is going to take a bunch of it.
Yep. The states,
the financial advisor. Most states are going to take a chunk of it too.
That's financial right. Advisors, sometimes even municipalities or cities, all kinds of people are going to be taking that from you. Maybe an ex-spouse.
Ooh. Gotta love them.
Yeah. So there are, there's other people in line ahead of you to get that money. Let's just say that. But house premium and the solution. Again, I don't know how many times or how many different ways we can say it. The more you pay, the more you have access to. The bigger pool of capital you have, the more financial peace you have, the more options you have.
Liquidity is generally the biggest financial concern that just people have in general through everyday life. Oh, the water heater went out. The AC went out. The roof needs to be replaced. Up, the basement flooded. Whatever it is, it's always an issue of liquidity. And more than likely, if you're not practicing IBC, you're going to have to interrupt the growth of some sort of money that you have stored somewhere. Savings account, CD, money market, stocks. You're going to have to liquidate something to go fix this problem that you have.
Or pay interest.
Or you're going to have to pay interest. You're going to finance on our credit card at 29% or 20% or 15%.
Yeah. Just last week, I got a phone call from Hannah. She had just left the house. Like 10 minutes later, I get a phone call and she said, I got a flat tire.
Oh boy, that's
fun. So she had pulled off into a neighborhood, thankfully. So I had to go. I gave her my truck so she could get where she's going. I changed the tire and made an appointment at Discount Tires. I spent $1,500 on brand new tires.
Oh, you got new tires.
Well, it needed new tires anyway. It was kind of at that point, like, you should really replace these anyway. But I'm like, it's summertime. What's going to happen? But she got a flat. I was like, wait, this is actually pretty good timing. We need new tires anyway.
Yeah. And tire prices are through the roof right now too. They're not cheap.
I know. And then I always pay for that extra, like, you know, $50 a tire for the guarantee they'll fix it or replace it, because I live in a neighborhood that's still under construction.
A lot of nails and screws
all over the place. Yeah.
Yep.
But you know, if I didn't have access to capital and depending on someone's income, that's a big hit.
It is a big hit.
Unexpected.
New tires for most people is a big expense every few years.
Which is why a lot of people roll around on bald tires.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially subcontractors on construction sites. Because they're just going to pop them anyway.
Yeah. Just going to pop them.
Yeah. Going to be like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse, the greatest movie of all time, by the way. The old car.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was all right. But the original with Sam Elliott and...
Yeah.
You know, but he's got that old car with a trunk full of old tires and wheels because he knows he's going to get some hate. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. Liquidity, right? When the banks, when these investment banks failed in 2008, Lehman Brothers, they ran out of money.
Yeah. Or when you need a loan from a bank, if they sniff neediness whatsoever,
nope,
the answer is
no. Not getting it.
Not getting it.
Or if you do get it, the rate's going to be steep.
Yep.
Very steep.
And highly collateralized with something. That's right. How about this problem? You know, there's no clear path to generational wealth. I think all of us have a desire for our kids to do better than us in life, have more opportunities in life than we had, end up in a better place with less stresses than we have. Right. Even if we're doing good, I want my kids to do even better in a responsible manner. So I would love to pave the way for this generational wealth to start. It's got to start somewhere, and it's going to start with me.
Yeah. They have to be worthy of the inheritance, right? But, you know, it's not like, I think people mistake sometimes, like, oh, that's so much death benefit, it's going to spoil them. Like, no, they need to earn it.
Yeah.
You have to be worthy of that inheritance because it requires care. We want Rockefellers, not Vanderbilts. Right. That's what we want. And I think also, Dave, a lot of people assume that they're going to be able to leave part of their 401k or part of their IRA, or I'm fairly certain if you have a pension, you want to just live an okay lifestyle, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But I think most people, you're going to burn through that, especially with the advancements in medical technology. People are going to live longer. It really takes a tremendous amount of sucking money away now during your working years to really not run out of money later on. And again, if you have a pension or whatever, that's maybe I'm not talking about you, but most people don't. They don't.
And what pension? Very few pensions are going to provide you the lifestyle that you want. You know,
no, just only like pension. California public school teacher pensions.
Yeah, they probably make more
retired
money.
Retired superintendent making $485,000 a year.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
No wonder they have no money.
No wonder. So anyway, there you go. Yep. That's good. So these are all reasons why premium is a solution, why you and I continue to increase the amount of premium we pay year over year. Like every year, I want to be able to pay a little more, because the truth is every year it gets easier to pay that premium because either my situation has improved over the year before, or inflation just, you know, by nature makes that money easier to pay because it seems like less.
Sure. You know, folks, and each policy you open, you know, they don't have, maybe you have a big one as your original policy is fairly large relative to your income. It doesn't mean like every single policy needs to be X amount of dollars, right? There's going to be policies of varying sizes and varying durations, perhaps based on your goals. And that's totally fine. Expand the system naturally and comfortably.
Yeah. I've got policies that range anywhere from $2,500 a year to $48,000 a year.
There you go.
And everything in between.
Yep.
So it's, yeah, it is whatever you can do right now to maximize your situation to stockpile that capital and pay more premium. I'm going to do it. You know, it's kind of like lifting weights. You're not going to go from benching 135 to 225 right away. You're going to go 135 to 145, you know, to 175, 85. And then maybe you'll have to put the 2 pound, 2.5 pound plates on and go from 185 to 190,
yeah.
You know, and then just eke up there. But you're still increasing every single time.
I put up 225 one time once in Afghanistan.
Oh yeah, Afghanistan. We got
even with those skinny arms,
two dinners a day, man. That was I saw a dude die in the gym in Afghanistan.
Did you really?
No kidding. He was a contractor.
Oh, I think I remember. I think you told me about that.
Saw him on the bench press.
Yeah.
I looked back over and he was face down on the floor.
God.
Yeah, just gone. Yeah. Man. Crazy. So don't overdo it, Paul. Don't try to go out and do 225 right now, because you're not in Afghanistan shape anymore.
Don't worry.
Yeah. I was watching a reel of the combine. There's like some defensive lineman that put up 225 33 times.
33 Chris Hogan reps. From the Patriots did it, I think, 28 times back in whatever, 2000, whatever.
These guys are amazing. Animals. And the same dude ran a sub-6 second 40.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Hogan was a wide receiver, so he was fast and strong. He was a lacrosse. Oh, wow,
that's rare for a wide receiver.
Yeah, combine. I think he did it 28 times, 225.
Yeah. I remember Pat Tillman was asked, how many times could you do 225? He's like, how many times? Like, once? He's like, that's my max. You know, but he was a beast.
Yeah.
Very good dude.
Yeah. Anyway, I got to go get the kids.
Yeah, go get them, man. We'll end it here. So I hope you enjoyed, everybody. Remember, premium is the solution. Until next week, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle in a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.